Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Fantasy Sports Today. Here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Dane Martinez, the Spitting Statistician. We got the King, Scott Engel, in for Blewett on Wednesday. Blewett's got to, you know, do some familial duties, and so we want him to be able to do that. We just spent last hour breaking down some of the lines here for Week 5, okay? So if you just listen to FST and you want to hear our take on some of the other games, some of the early games and those early lines, don't forget to go ahead and download Roto Experts in the Morning, wherever you can get your podcast. But we got a good show for you in store here. Don't forget, if you want to join the show, the number to call is 844-843-6879. As always, you can follow us at Spittin' Speeds and at Scotty Roto X. Scotty, we'll dive back into these games, but I want to reset some of the headlines here for a new audience at the top of the hour. Listen, Wednesday is when we hear practice reports and injury reports, but I don't care about Wednesday injury reports. You know, I don't care that I'm going to see DeAndre Hopkins, you know, listed as questionable or not practicing. I get a notification on my phone every week. DeAndre Hopkins' status has been changed from healthy to questionable. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I realize, oh, they're just managing his reps. So it's not a big deal. We'll keep you updated. We'll keep you updated on that. And as always, we will try to speak to Dr. A on Friday's show with what you really need to know. But I bring this up, Scott, at the top of the show, because listen, in a mere 36 hours, Thursday Night Football in Week 5 will kick off with the Patriots and Colts. And on the Pats side, you got Rob Gronkowski looking very questionable. And on the Colts side, you got everybody from T.Y. Hilton to Jack Doyle and even the kicker, Adam Vinatieri. Are you concerned about any and or all of these injuries, Scott?
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton's probably not going to play. Marlon Mack looks like he might play. Robert Turbin will be limited, but I still like him, you know, to at least become the goal line back there. 7 touchdowns two seasons ago. And then, you know, with Vinatieri's got a groin injury, you know, there's probably a lot of good kickers out there on free agency. Just play it safe, cut and pick up somebody else.
Absolutely. I agree with you. You know, just in general, Scott, you know, things that I look for are maybe teams that struggle to punch it in the red zone, that lack that running game, you know, teams that maybe play indoors, you know, are things that I might look for. Are there any like general things you look at when picking a kicker? I know we don't spend much time on this.
I just look at the trends. You know, if I go in to pick up a kicker and not enough people do it, they take a kicker and they just leave him in the lineup. They don't pay attention. I'm looking at who's trending, you know, and who's consistently scoring like 8 to maybe a dozen or more points a week and looking for that consistency or that upside. You know, I really just look at the trends for the season, you know, because the best kickers, they're going to kick indoors, they're going to kick outdoors, whatever.
Right. All right, fair enough. We also got a poll question up right now, Scotty. You can find it at FNTSY Radio. You could always follow us at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty Roto X. We're asking you, which of the returning suspended players? You know, a lot of people had 4-week suspensions. We heard that, like, Mark Ingram met his team at the airport, Julian Edelman back as well. Which of these returning players are going to have the biggest impact in fantasy football and for their teams? Is it Mark Ingram with the Saints? Is it Jameis Winston with the Bucs? Is it Julian Edelman with the Pats? Or is it Robert Turbin, who a lot of people are forgetting about with the Indianapolis Colts? He's only getting 3% of the vote, Scott, but I want you to say it again now for a new audience on FST. Don't get it twisted. I mean, Robert Turbin, someone joked on Twitter like, that 3% is probably his family. And I understand he doesn't compare it to the kind of name brand recognition of Edelman or Jameis or Mark Ingram, but We all talk about this with players. It's really about their path to opportunity and production. And there is a path for Turbin in Indianapolis because Jordan Wilkins hasn't really done it, because Marlon Mack has been injured all year, and because Nyheim Hines is really a PPR pass-catching back. There is a path to starting running back opportunity for Robert Turbin.
Yeah, there certainly is. It's funny the Twitter comedian said it, but, you know, there's no truth to it, really, you know, when you're looking at it honestly. Marlon Mack hasn't been able to stay healthy. Jordan Wilkins is not a thing. Robert Turbin is a guy that started for them in the preseason, had 7 touchdown runs 2 years ago, and the organization trusts him. Look, he's not going to be a star, but he can be an adequate runner there. Ultimately, it could end up being Turbin getting the majority of the carries, or at least the goal line carries, with Nyheim Hines being the pass-catching back, and that's maybe the way they at least, you know, try to plug the dike, you know, and stick their finger in there, you know, from all the water spraying out, you know, temporarily.
Yeah, there's so many things I can say in response to that, Scott, but I'm going to say none of them because
I tried to talked about the water and stuff like that. So people don't think in the gutter like you. Yeah,
that's fair enough. Don't worry about it. The Twitter community will talk to about us. Remember when I was talking about our good friend Dalvin Cook a couple of weeks back? Hey, this is an intriguing matchup, Scott. We got an intriguing matchup in this one. The Atlanta Falcons in a non-conference road game. They go to Heinz Field to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are 3-point favorites. Look at this total, Scott. And honestly, I think it is well-deserved. I believe it is the highest total of the week, 57.5. Lot of opportunity here. Lot of game stack opportunity here. Talk to me about these teams. Are you just pretty much running everybody you possibly can out here in this game? I've been talking about this Atlanta defense that has been banged up, the loss of both of their safeties, Allen and Neal, the loss of their coverage linebacker, Deion Jones. We've been talking about that. And then on the Pittsburgh side, listen, they cannot stop the pass. We've seen what quarterbacks and non-brand name quarterbacks, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Joe Flacco, we see what they have been doing against these Steelers. I think this total of 57.5 is well-deserved, Scott.
I think it might be a little bit low, actually, there, don't you think? Matt Ryan, right now when I do my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com that are coming out later this afternoon, he might be my number 2 fantasy quarterback overall just because he's playing so well. He has so many weapons, and the defense forces him to throw the ball so often. So, you know, you go to Daily Roto, go to the lineup optimizer, and just click Falcons and Steelers players here. I do worry about, like, some of the Steelers receivers, like the starters. Antonio Brown and Juju Smith are underperforming a little bit, and you're starting to see more of Ryan Switzer.
And James McDonald's
getting more reps. The tight ends are getting more involved as well. So they're spreading the ball out a lot, but you still have to love Roethlisberger as a play this week.
Absolutely. I think you love Roethlisberger at home. We know about his home road splits. We know about the back end of that Falcons defense. Remember, Andy Dalton carved them up for the tune of over 330 last week. And here's the thing. I got to tell you something. I like what you're saying on Matt Ryan. Okay. He has been playing well. I had a listener asked me a question yesterday that on its face, I was like, oh, you're crazy. But then when I looked at it again, I was like, oh, this is actually a question, and I'm going to go the way I didn't think I was going to go. My man was talking. He asked me, should I start Matt Ryan over Patty Mahomes this week? And on its face, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't bench Patty Mahomes. He's the number 1 quarterback in the world right now. But then I looked at it, and I was like, Scotty, you know, he's against Jacksonville. And on the other side, Matt Ryan, who has been a top 5 quarterback this year, is facing a great matchup in Pittsburgh. And I was like, wow, I think you're right. I think I might lean towards Matt Ryan. What would you do in that situation?
Yeah, your number one reaction automatically is you can't bench the best quarterback in fantasy football. But then again, you're talking about he has maybe the second best guy. So you take the guy with the better matchup. It's not crazy whatsoever. What that team needs to do is make a trade.
I would think so, too. And listen, again, we've said it. We said it in the entire month of August, Scotty. Wait on quarterback. We said it so much, and if you did, you would have wound up with a guy like Matt Ryan, a guy like Jared Goff, a guy like Patty Mahomes. You know, these guys are absolutely killing it, and you wouldn't have had to spend for, you know, Deshaun Watson, who, while his stats have been good, has regressed. Russell Wilson, who hasn't been able to play well because of that offensive line. For a guy like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, who's already missed the game or been banged up with injury. I mean, if you waited on quarterback, you really could have been in a much better shape. And then, you know, your wide receivers and your running backs would be in better shape as well. Listen, Scotty, we got some time left in the segment, you know, with the Falcons and the Steelers. I want to get your updated thoughts on the Le'Veon Bell situation, okay? He now has said that he's going to report to the team during their Week 7 bye. All right, but then we hear yesterday Mike Tomlin say, I haven't spoken to Le'Veon. The situation's kind of the same. We're going with the guys that are here, you know. So to me, and I want to get your take on this, Scott, to me, this is actually the worst-case scenario, is Lev Bell coming back for the fantasy playoffs and that push to the fantasy playoffs. Here's why. If Lev Bell just didn't play all year, you know, James Conner would be an RB1 or, you know, even if he kind of falls off a little bit, a locked and loaded RB2. If Lev Bell did, in fact, get traded, then you got two RB1s on your hand, right? You have Bell wherever he winds up, and you have James Conner. Here's the problem, though. The reason Lev Bell is one of these top three backs, right, or a top three draft pick, is because we've said it, Scott. Workhorses are few and far between. There's the guy in Dallas. There's the guy in Arizona. You know, maybe one or two more. The rookie in New York has proven to be that as well. But my thing is, I fully expect when Le'Veon Bell comes back, I fully expect him to not be the workhorse that dominated snaps and touches like he used to be. James Conner has proven that even when Le'Veon is back, Conner is at least a mix-in every kind of third or fourth drive kind of guy. He's still going to get snaps. And so my concern is that even when Lev Bell is back, it's not like a real full-on timeshare, but it's certainly closer to a timeshare than it used to be with Lev Bell as a workhorse, and that bumps him down a little bit. What do you think about that, Le'Veon, even when he comes back, not having kind of the full workhorse percentage like he used to?
Maybe the first week or two, but when you have a back as talented as Le'Veon Bell, I know why they drafted James Conner, because, you know, maybe they expected situations. Very smart of the front office, and I think the Steelers are the best organization in all of professional sports. They're very smart. They're very smart. But when you have Le'Veon Bell there and you have a talent like that, I think it depends on his health and conditioning, and which makes him a big risk, because when you miss 6 weeks in all of training camp, you're not in game condition and you're at injury risk. It really depends on his health. If Le'Veon Bell is in full game shape, there's no way he's not the lead running back, period.
I understand that. I'm not saying he's not the lead running back, Scott, but it's just, I'm saying instead of like the prime workhorse like Ezekiel Elliott is, does he become, and I'm not saying it's a timeshare, but, you know, like in Atlanta, for example, you got Devontae Freeman, but Tevin Coleman, it always mixes in. Even now what we're seeing with a guy like Austin Eckler, I'm not saying a full-on timeshare like what we see in, say, Tennessee or other places, but could it change from, I acknowledge that Lev Bell is still the lead back, but could it be something like instead of, say, 95-5 as a split, it becomes more like 80-20. And even that difference is a difference for what you used to expect at a Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, it's a minor difference, but, you know, it still will make him, you know, when you look at the state of running back right now, you know, you're probably looking at him still being like the 7th, 8th running back in fantasy football.
Right, and you know, I'm just saying that, like,
not just number one, you know.
Absolutely, right.
It's a little bit of a bump. I know where you're going.
A little bit. You know, like going into the
instead of number one, maybe he's number 8.
Right.
Overall.
You know, and that's the thing. Exactly. Right. And that, so maybe instead of you always projecting him to get 20 points a week, he's now projected to get like 16 points a week, something like that. I'm not saying yeah, timeshare. I'm saying small bump, but in the rarefied air that Le'Veon Bell used to have in the rankings, part of the reason was because of that monster workload. And so now, like you said, maybe it's bumped down to 8th or something like that. We're playing with the numbers, but conceptually, you know what I'm talking about, because I think Conner has proven that he deserves a series or two, even when Le'Veon comes back.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, fair enough. Let me ask you, though, on the Atlanta side of things, what do we think about Devontae Freeman? Might he be coming back? What's up with the Ito Smith, Tevin Coleman timeshare? Read the tea leaves for me here on the Atlanta Falcons and their running back situation moving forward.
Can't, you know, but we still don't have any concrete idea of when Devonta Freeman's coming back. You know, Tevin Coleman will still be the lead runner and I think the main guy for goal line carries. But Ito Smith is going to figure in. You know, I think it's like a 65-35 split in favor of Coleman here. I'm not expecting this to change anytime soon. I haven't seen any solid indicators that Freeman's on the way back anytime soon.
All right, so let's move on to our next game then, Scotty. The Green Bay Packers in a division matchup go to Detroit to take on the Lions. The Lions are home dogs, but it's only a point. You know, so this is basically a pick 'em. I have questions on both sides of this game, Scotty. We'll start in Green Bay. Listen, Randall Cobb missed it, so I was telling everybody about bumping up Geronimo Allison. He has a good game, goes 6-for-80, but leaves the game at the end of the third quarter. He's in the concussion protocol, so we're going to have to keep our eye out on that. We have to keep our eye out on Cobb as well. So does like Valdez Scantling have any kind of potential here this week as a waiver guy? You know, do you have to wait to see if Cobb and Allison status? What do you think happens here in the wide receiver group for Green Bay? Because as we've noted, the Green Bay Packers are a team that can sustain multiple pass catchers. The third option in Green Bay has been fantasy relevant in the past. So who is that person going to be with the injury concerns in Green Bay?
I think it's going to be Ty Montgomery. You know, he's caught, like 8 passes for 105 yards. Former converted wide receiver in the last 2 weeks, 8 for 105. Former converted wide receiver, and Rodgers has been looking for him. I think Ty Montgomery is the guy that steps forward. Pick him up if he needs some help with running back.
That is a very interesting call. I'm actually searching for Ty Montgomery in my leagues right now, but of course he is owned in my long-term dynasty league. I am in first place. Of course he is owned by the guy.
Everybody's owned in the dynasty league.
It's true. Trust me, the names that we had to like use fourth-round draft picks on are hysterical. But in any event, on the other side of things for Detroit, my question is what it always is, Scott. We know about these wide receivers. I think it's fair to say already that our boy Kenny Golladay is the second wide receiver over Marvin Jones. My question is with the running backs. You know I am pushing for Kerryon Johnson, who looks like the best running back for Detroit. He looks like the most dynamic. He's been making plays, a 30-some-odd yard run and a touchdown in last week's game. Why are they still giving LeGarrette Blount the start, the nominal start, and an even share of carries? When is this going to start tilting in Kerryon's favor?
I've been saying it for like 2 weeks now. It's not. You know, every fantasy player wants it to happen, and the coaching staff doesn't give a crap. You know, the coaching staff was saying yesterday they believe that the way they're distributing the workload right now is the way they want to do it, and they're not going to change it. You know, they're not going to listen to any fantasy player in the stands or on his computer. They feel like they're giving him enough work, and they're comfortable with the committee, and it's not going to change anytime soon.
That's okay. I have the direct cell phone for Jim Bob Cooter. So after the show,
really?
Scotty, you and I, we need to holler at him. And it's not any general fantasy fan. It's the King, Scott Angle, and the spitting statistician. We will. We'll yell at him. We'll holler at him. And we'll tell him, hey, Jim Bob, get Kerryon Johnson in there more. When you're lost and alone and you're sinking like a stone, Kerryon.
How many people do you think he's hung up on already like this?
A few. Won't hang up on you if you want to call the show. The number to call is 844-843-6879. Your calls and our early looks at the afternoon games when we come back week 5 here on Fantasy Sports Today.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
There it is. That's what I'm talking about. Kerryon. Kerryon Johnson, he needs to get this role eventually. Scott's saying it ain't happening yet. I'm going to get on the phone to Jim Bob Cooter. It's Fantasy Sports Today. Spitting statistician Dane Martinez, El Rey de Fantasia, the king, Scott Angle. We're giving you our early leans and kind of waiver ideas as we go game by game. We got the afternoon games to look at right now. First afternoon game, I want to talk about the Oakland Raiders after their overtime win. They stay in California. They go down and see the Chargers. Chargers are 5.5-point favorites. This is the kind of game, Scott, the Chargers need to make a statement. I thought they were going to get a big win against San Francisco. They only won by two. This Joey Bosa injury continues to frustrate Chargers, the Chargers fans, and defensive owners alike. In this game, I'm going to ask you the same thing I asked you before. I know Melvin Gordon is a stud, but can you make the case during the bye weeks to use Austin Ekeler regardless?
Sure, sure. But I think the guy's an RB3. He's producing every week. He's making the most of every touch. He's not getting the volume, but he's very explosive when he gets on the field against that Raiders defense. I'm all for it.
All right, absolutely. We're going to talk about the Raiders on the other side of things, but we got a couple of phone calls that I want to get to from the listeners out there in the Fantasy Sports Network community. Thanks for hollering at us, and if you want to join the show, remember,
please,
the number to call is 844-843-6879. We open the phone lines, and our first call today is Andrew in Boston. Hey, Andrew, you're on Fantasy Sports Today with Scott and the Spitting Statistician. How can we help you for Week 5 and beyond?
I have a question. So you guys spoke about Patrick Mahomes for that Jacksonville game, but you guys didn't say anything about Blake Bortles. And I've been starting Russell Wilson, so should I be looking at Bortles over Wilson this week?
Well, Wilson's got the Rams here. And he doesn't have a lot of playmakers. The Rams always get an incredible pass rush on him. So I'm okay with going Bortles over Wilson this week. You know, it's not just, you know, it's not just a knee-jerk matchup-only play, you know, anymore. Russell Wilson is suffering from three items. You know, the offensive line, inconsistent pass blocking. Number two is play calling. And number three is a lack of receiving talent. You know, downgraded, lost Jimmy Graham, lost Paul Richardson, Doug Baldwin dealing with two knee injuries. So I'm fine with using Bortles. The only thing I worried about is Bortles only is good in even-numbered weeks, but I'd still do it.
I like that as well.
Yeah, I like Mariota's matchup. Mariota versus I still got to go Bortles. The matchup is too good. You never know what you get from Mariota in any given week.
Yeah, I like that as well. The one caveat that I would say, though, Scott, you know, we saw this with Matt Patricia against the Patriots. We saw this with teams are going to try and do this against the Chiefs, and the Jags are uniquely qualified to be able to do so. What about the Jags really trying to win this game with the run game? You know, it's Yeldon, and also, you know, to try to keep Patty Mahomes off the field. And doing that, you know, would be more run production there instead of Blake Bortles. Do you buy that?
Not really, because every time Leonard Fournette has been out of the lineup, it seems, Blake Bortles is like shoulder more of the offensive load, and they have a deep receiving crew there.
All right, fair enough. So there you have it, Andrew. We're okay going with the Bortles service against Kansas City because that pass defense gives it up to everybody. Our next caller, hey, Scotty, friend of the show. It's your cowboy. It's Kenny in Philly. Hey, Kenny, what's
How
going
you
on,
doing,
brother,
cowboy?
Man?
Cowboy.
How you doing, cowboy? Hey, Scotty, man, get well, man. I hope you're feeling a little bit better than yesterday. What's going on, Dan?
You know, I'm probable now.
He went from DNP to limited to full. He's ready to go.
Well, I'm glad I got rid of the whole doubtful clause or whatever, so we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, Kenny? What you need?
Scotty, you're absolutely right, man. You got to watch who people drop. I just picked up Latavius Murray. Somebody dropped Latavius Murray this week. I mean, come on. I just picked him up.
You put me to sleep with Latavius Murray. I like the strategy. Every morning, you know, like every Wednesday and Thursday morning, you know, I would go to the waiver wire, and the first thing I do is see who people drop. But I'm not getting excited about Latavius Murray. You know, I wonder who's going to rush for less every week between him and Kenyon Drake.
Dalvin Cook is banged up, and he admitted himself that he's not 100%.
Opportunity doesn't always lead to production. Murray has done nothing with it.
Hold on a second. This is the team that I have: Shady McCoy, Matt Breida, and James White. So I need freaking Latavius Murray on this team. I'm doing pretty good on that team.
No, I'd rather have Robert Turbin or Ty Montgomery.
gosh, never mind, Scotty. Anyway, guys.
You, Eddie, what else we got?
Anyway, the Browns kind of got screwed with Oakland actually getting a win. You know, I got the Raiders under, and the I'm glad AJ Green caught that last touchdown for the Bengals. So one more thing, the showdown slate. I'm on DK. It's actually pretty fun. I played it for the first time last week. I tied the six with like 10 other lineups or whatever. But it's pretty self-evident this week. So everybody should look into that with where the ball is actually going to go here with the Colts and the Patriots. So
with so many injuries, people banged up, right? You know, no Gronk, no T.Y., no Jack Doyle. The options are limited, so you could definitely get some values. I like that. I like that call on Daily Fantasy for these one-game Thursday slates. Listen, guys, you know, no Gronk, the return of Julian Edelman. I could see them force-feeding him early on as Josh Gordon is still not completely up to snuff. And if there's no Doyle, if there's no, you know, T.Y. Hilton, I think you're right. You know, we're looking at Eric Ebron and only like Ryan Grant or Chester Rogers kind of thing. The options are limited. I like that call, Kenny.
Yep, exactly. Well, I know you guys are pressed for time, so I'll call you guys later on in the week to talk about the over-unders for the weekend. So, all right, fellas.
Thanks a lot, Kenny. And listen, I know the Raiders got their first win of the season, but I still am very confident with the under on their season win total. Hey, Scotty, let's look at these afternoon games real quick. One that we were talking about, these Oakland Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers. We talked about the Chargers side. I like Eckler as a standalone, regardless of Gordon. On the other side, on this Oakland Raiders side, some people are talking to me about Jalen Richard as a waiver wire. I don't really buy it. Do you?
It's desperate. I'd rather have possibly, but, you know, he's only going to give you like, you know, mediocrity, you know, give you like 7-8 points at best in PPR, but still, that's more than Murray or Drake.
Fair enough. Like, listen, one guy that we have not been on, but might be a thing at this point, and given the status of the tight end position, what about Jared Cook? You have to kind of like acknowledge that at this point, you got to run Jared Cook out there week to week because tight end is such a mass unit.
I think he's number two overall fantasy scoring tight end right now. The guy is a must start every week. Finally, it's taken about 15 years for Jared Cook's a thing.
All right, another game. We go to the NFC West. The Arizona Cardinals go to San Francisco to take on C.J. Beathard and the 49ers. We got backup quarterbacks aplenty. The kid Rosen will be in his second start against C.J. Beathard from Iowa. What do you think about in this game? The Niners are 4.5-point favorites, low total of 41. I want to ask you about these Cardinals. With Josh Rosen at quarterback, listen, we know that Larry Fitzgerald is completely banged up. So I look elsewhere, okay? Ricky Seals-Jones, Christian Kirk, who might emerge here in this offense as a favorite target of the Rosen one?
Larry Fitzgerald, very possibly.
I know, but you know, he's really banged up. He's nowhere near 100%.
He is, but, you know, this offense just might continue to sputter, and you hope David Johnson takes some pressure off him. There's no reason to have confidence in anybody in this passing game. You know, Rosen, you know, he played with some confidence last week, but he was very inconsistent in terms of his accuracy. The offensive line doesn't hold up too well, so I'm pretty much avoiding this team for the most part if I can. This game's going to hit the under. There's a lack of playmakers on both sides of the ball here.
Yeah. One of the people that people are asking me about as a cut candidate is – it's 49ers wide receiver Marquise Goodwin. What do you think about that? Do you think his talent and production was tied to Jimmy G? You think, I mean, he's banged up as well a little bit. Do you think he can still produce it in a rosterable way with C.J. Beathard as quarterback? What do you think? Is he droppable, Goodwin?
Two words if you want to make it this. Goodbye.
Oh, look at you, Scotty. I like what you do over there. Goodbye to Marquise Goodwin. So is there anybody on the 49ers who you do think is a quality fantasy player? The running backs, Kittle?
Matt Breida, as long as he stays healthy. And, you know, Kittle with a long catch and run last week. But that's about it.
That's about it, right? So, no, you're off the Alfred Morris train?
Yes, sir.
All right. Another big game in the NFC.
Didn't even go a full stop.
It's true. Between two teams that see themselves as contenders in the NFC, the Minnesota Vikings go to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. I know we were just poo-pooing Latavius Murray, and the matchup against, you know, the Philadelphia run front is not a good one. But listen, Dalvin Cook is not 100%. He's admitted as much. And when even the player says it, that creates concern for me. How do you think the workload is shared? Not the production, but the opportunity, the snaps, the touches. What kind of share do you think we have in Minnesota at running back?
There is none. There's no running game, period. You know, opportunity doesn't always lead to production. You know, if Cook's not in there, they have no running game and they're going to throw it a ton. That's the way it is.
All right, so given that, you're running out Thielen and Diggs. Are they both wide receiver ones? Like, when your ranks come out, are they going to both be inside the top 12?
Right now, Thielen's number four and Diggs is number nine, you know, as it starts to get pulled together.
Absolutely. So these guys are both wide receiver ones. Let me ask you this. Even in my – I have this situation. I am a Diggs owner in a lot of places, and I'm in a trade negotiation where one of the teams that I'm talking about has Adam Thielen. Do I not go after Adam Thielen because I own Stephon Diggs?
You know what? In concept, the answer is yes, because if they score 10 points or 13 points in any given week, you screw yourself.
Then you're too committed.
If Thielen hogs up the targets in 1 week or Diggs in another, I don't think it's a good thing. It wouldn't be my top. It does make sense because they score a lot of points, but I'd be looking elsewhere for another wide receiver. Yeah, I'm not totally against it, but it would be a top five option for me in terms of exploring trades.
Sure, and by the same vein, I'm a DeAndre Hopkins owner in a lot of places. That prevented me from putting in a waiver claim on Kiki QT as well because I didn't want to be too pot committed with the wide receivers.
I would still claim him on waivers, though, because then you could flip him and trade him,
So then why wouldn't I do the same thing with Diggs and Thielen?
Well, not looking to make a trade. I don't want to actually go out and, actively seek it. But if the guy's available on waivers, he becomes somebody I could deal.
All right, fair enough. And then, listen, as we know, tight end has been such a mash unit. But in this game, we have two quality tight ends that keep on chugging in Zach Ertz and Kyle Rudolph, the red zone reindeer. We got a couple more games to look at, Scotty. The Rams and the Seahawks, NFC West divisional matchup. It is in the Pacific Northwest. Listen, I talk about the home dogs. Scotty, your squad, the Seahawks, are getting over a touchdown at home in Seattle. They're getting 7.5 points in what is a divisional rivalry. I know the Rams, am I correct though? The Rams sort of have the Seahawks number even when it was different and the Seahawks were Super Bowl contenders and the Rams were kind of struggling. The Rams seem to always pick them off, but now they are 7.5 point favorites in Seattle. Is that too far or is this Rams offense just that unstoppable these days?
Yeah, when the Seahawks were playing well, they pretty much owned the Rams. I forgot, what it was, how many straight they had beat them or something like that. The Rams had played them tough, but the Seahawks, there were a few times actually, where they actually pulled an upset once or twice. But the Seahawks, for the most part, dominated the series until the Rams came in last year and then just dominated them, at CenturyLink Field. I think it was 42-7, and the torch was passed in the NFC West. Without Earl Thomas, there's no way the Seahawks can stop this offense. And I don't think the offense is built to play catch-up right now. This could be another ugly game for the Seahawks.
Right. So then here's my question. I look at the total, and it's a little high to me, Scott. It's 50.5. I hear you that the Seahawks aren't stopping the Rams, but you put the Seahawks in a game where they have to throw and play catch-up with that offensive line, and I don't know if they're going to score much either. I could see the Rams boat racing Seattle here, and yet it's still being the under. You know what I mean? I could see something like 35-10 in this one, Scott.
I don't think they'll be reduced to 10 points.
You like the over or the under? 50.5.
I don't see that happening. I'm going to take the over, but that's decisive Rams win.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for Scotty and his Seahawks. It looks like the torch has definitely been passed in that division. And honestly, Scott, we talked about this in the preseason when we were doing kind of team by team and we were really predicting things. Look, in that division now, the NFC West, we know about the Rams, right? But look, the 49ers have lost their quarterback. The Cardinals look like they may be profiling as one of the worst teams in the NFC. The Seahawks are going to take a step back. We've seen that Russell Wilson is struggling with that offense. The Rams are 4-0 already. Scott, I think the Rams are primed to, you know, go all the way and really have home field advantage or one of these first round buys. You know, you look at the NFC North and it's going to be a competition, you know, Minnesota, Chicago, Green Bay, all involved. The NFC South, you know, Carolina and New Orleans, and to a lesser extent, Atlanta. In the East, you got Philadelphia, but they still have some holes to fill as well, in my opinion. They're only 2-2. Things are setting up for the Rams, you know, to A, have a bye and maybe have the NFC go through Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way. They have some defensive injuries, but, you know, they'll win a lot of games with their offense right now because you can do that during the regular season more than in the playoffs. The offense is so powerful right now. Cooper Kupp is looking like a wide receiver one in fantasy, and, you know, they destroyed a team last week defensively that had a great reputation. I don't know outside of Jacksonville that there's any defense that could really, really stop this offense. If this ends up being a Jacksonville
Maybe
Rams
their own Super Bowl, defense.
Though,
their own defense.
No, because, you know, right now the linebacker crew is not good. They got a lot of injuries on the back seven. But if it ends up being, like, say, just for argument's sake, for fun, like a Jacksonville Rams Super Bowl, I would still lean with a team that has the better, more physical defense. Jacksonville is, like, the one team that I think can stand up to the Rams. Right
what
now.
About that good old Chicago Bears defense, Khalil Mack putting on pressure on Jared Goff? You know, the way some of these teams is getting pressure on that quarterback.
No, because the offense is too haphazard. It's, you know, as soon as they would have to play catch-up, they'd be in trouble.
Interesting. So you're pretty confident in the Rams moving forward. You don't see anybody in the NFC that can upset them right now?
I think if the Vikings, you know, get things together –
right.
It's still kind of early, and they could play much better later in the year. We could be looking back at the Rams game and saying, you know, that's where they hit their low, and then they turned things around, because that's the way the NFL goes. So I wouldn't completely count out the Vikings yet. And, you know, what about the Eagles? You know, if they're able to tighten some screws here on defense with a healthy Carson Wentz, and if Alshon Jeffrey stays healthy, you never know with the Eagles. But, you know, nothing's won on paper, but yeah, the Rams are looking very formidable right now.
Yeah, one other team I'd be considering is a team that we still have to preview for Week 5. What if the Rams had to go into the Dome in New Orleans and how the scoreboard would light up in that one? We'll preview Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football as well, and we'll have a little bit of fun as we put fun and functional sports content here on FST on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back. It's Fantasy Sports Today. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. We're looking ahead at these Week 5 lines. We're talking about some waiver wires that are included on those teams. Scott, I also got to let people know, if they enjoy playing DFS, but you're sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool over at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratchers and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account, use the promo code FNTSY. You'll get a 50% deposit bonus, okay? So that's mybookie.ag using the promo code FNTSY. Go there today and start winning that cash. Scotty, we got two more games I want to talk through here. Sunday night is a battle of Texas. The Houston Texans hosting the Dallas Cowboys. This is a 3-point spread for Houston. Houston is the home favorite at 3 points. They get the 3 points because of the home field. It's not really a home field, though. It's the state of Texas altogether. I bet there'll be just as many Cowboys fans in the building. And honestly, Scott, like, I don't know how to play this game. My initial reaction is that the Cowboys would be able to, grind it out with Ezekiel Elliott, play a time of possession game, keep it conservative. And then on the defensive end, guys like DeMarcus Lawrence will certainly get pressure on Deshaun Watson. I know he's going to chuck it around and make plays. I think it really comes down to, you know what you get out of Zeke and the Cowboys offense. I'm not worried about the ankle injuries that we hear about. What you don't know is, can Deshaun Watson make those plays under pressure? That's what it comes down to for me. Will he be able to make plays with guys like Kiki, QT, and DeAndre Hopkins? How do you see this one?
How about them Texans? You know, maybe they'll say that after this game is over.
Maybe. But
I see it being low scoring. You make a good point. You know, Dallas has a pretty good defensive line. They should be able to get pressure here. Their corners have been playing very well. So, you know, it might be a tough game for the receivers. Outside of DeAndre Hopkins, they have no running game to speak of. If you're desperate for running back help, pick up at Alfred Blue, because he may soon start to heavily eat into the workload of Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller didn't play the fourth quarter at all last Sunday, and Alfred Blue was out there when the game was trying to be decided. So watch that. They like Alfred Blue, the Texans do. You know, he's been sticking around for a while there. You know,
yeah.
With Zeke, it's more than just, you know, the one injury. Is he's dealing with multiple injuries, but he's playing through them. You know, other than that, look, this is a very bad secondary, but yeah, and Dak Prescott, you know, may exploit it. You know, maybe Tavon Austin's a punt play this week in Daly. You know, maybe he can pull off a big play here. You never know who might do it for Dallas in the passing game. You know, Cole Beasley can't get over 50 yards, but they have a very good defensive front too. So I see this game taking the under and being low scoring, and it comes down to Dak Prescott versus Deshaun Watson, who can make a play, and I'm going to take the Cowboys at home.
Fair enough. You're taking them. They're not at home. It's at Houston. So the Cowboys are getting 3 points in Houston. You like that even better.
They might
right?
as well be at home. Yeah.
Yep, fair enough. And it sounds like, Scotty, you're also taking the under on this one at 45.5,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Listen, I think you make an interesting point about Alfred Blue. Lamar Miller, as our boy Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, likes to say, Lamar Miller sucks. That offensive line is no help either. You mentioned you're my boy, Blue. Let me ask you about this, though. Deontay Foreman. You know, we're a couple of weeks away from him being eligible to return as well. Talk to me about Deontay Foreman and if he's someone you might want to stash on a bench.
Yeah, I really can't see him being a factor till about week 10, at least, you know, especially reading what InsideInjuries.com has to say about him. You know, coming off of a major injury, it's going to take a while for him, you know, to get back into playing shape. He's had no preseason. You know, he's going to miss 8 weeks. We can't just look at the talent and the opportunity. I don't know what the opportunity is going to be. You know, Dante Foreman could be a stash for, say, week 12, but I'm really not expecting anything until at least week 10, if that.
Okay, so you think you want to see it before you believe it, because he's missed a lot of time. He may need to get back into quote-unquote football shape. The Achilles is not an easy injury to come back from.
No, certainly not.
Can we, even though he's not back yet, can we ask Dr. A about this on Friday? Because I want to understand, like you're saying, this process to return. Because my thing is, you know, he's been out for 8 weeks. It's certain, like, he's certainly rehabbing, you know, he's certainly doing his work. So I wonder what it really takes to kind of like get back in this situation. I know the Achilles is a very damaging injury, but like, you know, he's probably working out like a maniac and we just don't hear about it, Scott, you know?
Do we know that? You know, we're just, with all due respect, we're just guessing on that.
I don't.
The guy missed the entire preseason and 8 weeks of the season. You have to get up, even if he was holding out, you have to get up to conditioning. You just can't hit the ground running coming back from an injury off the street. So I'm not looking at least anything till week 10.
Okay, so then let me ask you this. Even though it is week 10, you have talked about how Lamar Miller isn't getting it done. You've talked about how,
right,
you know, they are still maybe invested in Alfred Blue. But, you know, as I look to the fantasy playoffs, you know, that's and your final playoff push, we're talking week 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. You're saying that's when Deontay Foreman may have 2 weeks under his belt. Like, even for that, if I'm looking ahead, you know, could he wind
up? I said,
I guess,
maybe week 12. Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, so I guess that's, you know, like in the fantasy playoffs, right? I really think that Foreman has a great percentage chance as Lamar Miller or Alfred Blue to be the Texans starting running back in week 14 in the fantasy playoffs.
I'm not arguing with that with you at all.
Okay.
You know, by week 12, week 13, you know, there's a very talented kid, a power runner with speed. you know, maybe he's got his preseason under him here, but, you know, and it's certainly worth a flyer and, you know, worth a stash. But, you know, I'm not going to say, like, week eight he comes back and immediately starts. You know, it's not
going to happen. So this is a longer-term thing. A longer-term thing. I'm encouraged about it more just because, as we've seen, and as my man, the fantasy executive, who may be able to hear me right now, Lamar Miller sucks. All right, let's go to Monday Night Football here real quick, though. The Washington football team. Ooh, I know Corey. You thought Corey was listening too, huh? All right, the Washington football team goes to the Dome to take on the Saints as they stand up and get crunk. I've already said that the Saints are a viable survivor pick to me. They get Mark Ingram back. All right, talk to me. What do you anticipate in terms of the share here? Remember, we asked this at the top of the last hour. You know, Sean Payton says they got to, you know, work out some kind of split. Alvin Kamara right now is the number one player in fantasy football. What does Mark Ingram do to that?
I think we saw what it is last year, but, you know, Ingram coming back after four games, met his team at the airport, he's ready.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think that he can have 40% of the workload right away. But look, you know, both these guys are going to make the most of their touches, and they have to install them because, look, Kamara is so big in the passing game because they don't have a number two wide receiver. So Kamara when you look at the lack of depth, at the of elite depth at running back, and maybe when you go past number six or number seven, you don't know what's going on. You know, Kamara can still be top three, top four the rest of the way because he can make the most of every touch, even though Mark Ingram is going to be in the mix because he's going to be big in the receiving game.
Okay, what about, you know, everyone wonders about the impact on Kamara. What about the impact on some others? Ben Watson, Ted Ginn Jr., Michael Thomas. I mean, Michael Thomas set a record for something like most catches in the first 3 weeks of the season. How much of that was because there was no Mark Ingram to stabilize your traditional running game? Do we see a downturn in targets for a guy like Michael Thomas?
I doubt it, you know, because when they go to the air, he's the only guy they can rely on outside of Kamara. As far as Ben Watson or anybody else, they've already proven they're irrelevant. You know,
Cam Meredith getting involved?
Yeah,
Cam Meredith, the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, he hasn't been a thing, you know, whatsoever, really. You know, he did catch a touchdown last week, but, you know, Cam Meredith just, he had injuries in the preseason. He had injuries last year, and it really prevents him from gaining any momentum.
All right, fair enough. We shall see. Listen, Scotty, you got to let people know. Head on over to DailyRoto.com. It's the industry's leading daily fantasy site. It has produced seven separate FanDuel and DraftKings Millie Maker winners and millions more in similar prize pools for countless subscribers. Once there, click on the Go Premium tab. You can use the same daily fantasy line optimizer that's helped you and Daily Roto customers achieve such remarkable success. But now with the sports betting tab, you could also use the same tools for things like money line picks, picks against the spread, game totals, and player props. Go to DailyRoto.com and enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. DailyRoto.com, the industry website where millionaires are made, at least seven of them already, quite literally. All right, Scott, those are kind of all the games in week five. We already also talked about the Bears and the Bucks are on bye. We've talked about this. You're okay with stashing people. Like if someone drops a Jordan Howard, if someone drops, you know, if you can go ahead and stash Jameis Winston, I believe he is going to ascend because mostly of the Tampa Bay bad pass defense, you're going to have Jameis Winston throwing the ball a ton. But talk to me about these Bears and these Bucks real quick as we close out the show. I know you were super down, Scotty, on Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears. You know, you were saying the execution just wasn't there. That was last week. This before Trubisky goes off for six touchdowns. How much of this do you think, last week's Bears-Bucks game, how much of this do you think was the Bucks defense being blunt guts trash, and how much was it maybe something clicking for Mitch Trubisky?
I think it was 50-50, actually. They had a great week of practice, played with a lot more confidence, but that's a really bad matchup. But then again, sometimes we see with, like, Case Keenum, some quarterbacks don't take advantage of bad matchups. So, you know, that's the first step. You know, take advantage of a bad matchup and play like you're supposed to play. I think he turned a minor corner, you know, last week.
All right. So does that mean you're a little bit more encouraged for guys like Allen Robinson, guys like Trey Burton? You were talking about you were down. I remember last week in your week-to-week rankings or West of Season rankings, you were lower than the industry was on all of the Bears skill players. Howard, Burton, Robinson. Are you going to start to bump them up because of what you're saying here, Mitch Trubisky turning a small corner?
Yeah, you know, Burton's a tight end one. Allen Robinson's top 27, I would say. But with the running backs, there's no rhyme or reason there.
All right, there you have it. Scotty, what about on the Tampa side? You agree with me on this kind of Jameis Winston call? Talk to me about these wide receivers. Does this change anything? Like, does he like Mike Evans a little bit more? We've been talking about Godwin a little bit over DeSean Jackson. If you're in a place where you want to maybe pick up and stash a bye week guy from Tampa, would you go with Godwin or would you go with DeSean Jackson?
I got to go with DeSean Jackson just because he's been showing him a more upside. Like, there's a danger that it could change with Winston there. But you're totally right on Winston. You know, there's no running game. There's no defense. So volume-wise, he's going to have to carry that team a lot. He's just outside the top 15 for me in my rest of season rankings. Jameis Winston's ahead of Russell Wilson right now.
Wow. That's my how things change. And this is all more reason – you know, we've said it before, and I'll say it again, that we've been telling people to wait on quarterback. Hey, Scotty, you know, I do the game of inches, you know, so I want to ask you, last week I didn't get a chance to bounce them off you. Which do you think is more of a tougher break? Hashtag game of inches. I had Irwin G hit me up on Twitter. He sent me the screenshot. I saw it myself. He had a tie down to the fractional points, 132.1 to 132.1. What's worse, getting a tie in fantasy football and then maybe at the end of the season being like 6-6-1 or 7-5-1 and having that cost you to playoffs? Or I had two people send me submissions on the same kind of thing. I had Red Foreman on Twitter and Boulay 1219 on Twitter already hit me up and say they both lost by 0.2 of a point last week. They both had Big Ben, and they lost on the quarterback kneel downs at the end of Monday Night Football. They were winning, lost 0.2 or 0.3 points because of the kneel downs, and wound up losing by 0.2. Hashtag game of inches.
Yeah, I think the kneel down is very, very painful. That's
right.
I'll probably go with that. Yeah.
All right, so but here's the thing now, and I'm talking about this with my boy Danny Otto there, right? When I do the fantasy freestyle, he holds me down right before popping off, which you could also see on the Fantasy Sports Network. What we're doing now, though, is we're trying to create the worst beat game of inches for the whole year, right? And so, listen, these Big Ben kneel downs, that's real tough. I agree with you, Scott, but put that up against. But put that up against what I also shared with you. Remember that play, the Houston Texans in week two, where Deshaun Watson obviously passed the line of scrimmage on the last play of the game and gets DeAndre Hopkins, like, I don't know, maybe a 25-yard catch. If you were facing DeAndre Hopkins or Deshaun Watson and lost by the margin of that play, or you lost by, you know, 0.1 because of the Big Ben kneel downs, which of those two is most excruciating so far?
I said the kneel downs are the most painful for me because they're the most ridiculous. Yeah.
It is. It's tough.
Miscalls happen. You know, it's a human thing.
Okay. I hear you. Okay. I like the way you're processing this in terms of what is the priority of what's more excruciating than the rest. I got to tell you this also, Scott. I watched that game, you know, and at the end there on Monday night last week against Tampa, most quarterbacks, when they get the snap, they just drop down and kneel. Big Ben actually backpedaled like a couple of yards also. You know, I think he might have got credit for like -2 or -3 rushing yards instead of the -1 that everybody gets. So hashtag game of inches. Remember to send me your submissions at Spittin' Speeds. I'm doing with Fantasy Freestyle. I'm doing a little bit of a contest. Whoever has the worst hashtag game of inches all year, and Scotty thinks that it might be these Big Ben kneel downs, they are going to get, through my friends at RotoWear, they're going to get a free RotoWear t-shirt to at least, soften the blow of their loss. Scotty, what's coming up in the next couple of days in the Roto Experts in-season exclusive Edge fantasy package? What kind of content are we going to see on the website coming around today and tomorrow?
We got a lot coming. We have Sneaky Plays by Brandon Murchison, The Watch List by Dom Cinerino. We have the brand new trade guide from George Kurtz, and my in-season ranks will be coming this morning on rotoexperts.com. I'll be working on them after the show.
Absolutely. That's what we like to hear. Hey, Scotty, one last question as we get out of here. You know, I always I always like that when we come in and out of breaks, right? It's different music that plays, and sometimes you're educating me on certain kinds of music. I'm educating you on certain kind of music. We never had a chance to talk about this, but do you know who's doing the Super Bowl halftime show?
You know what? I think maybe I missed that news.
They announced it last week. It's going to be Maroon 5. How do you feel about that?
I don't have any feelings about it.
You don't have any feelings about that? Come on.
No.
You got it. You got no?
I don't like them. I don't hate them. They don't stir anything in me.
Okay, here's my question, though. In the last couple of years, you know, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, they have been solo acts. Before that, there was a lot of years in a row where it'd be like one kind of person, and then they bring on a lot of friends and stuff and a lot of cameos.
Yeah.
You think Maroon 5 is a big enough band to just do it by themselves, or will there be some fun cameos we got to see? Maybe a Cardi B out there.
There's always going to be cameos. I hope it's not Cardi B, but...
Well, they have a song together right now that's on the radio. That's why I said
it. I think so, but... Look, everything's subjective, but I think when I listen to her, when I listen to her music, she's like one of the least talented rappers I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about her in a former life on off air, my friend. But that about
she's
do
a
it
nice
here.
Lady.
Oh, we'll
she gets
talk
in
about
trouble
a little
in strip
bit.
Clubs, you know, throws chairs and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that as well. We can talk about that offline, my friend. Carton and Friends is up next. We'll be back tomorrow here. Blue, it'll be back tomorrow as well. We'll preview Thursday night football, snap counts, and we'll get you ready to win your leagues and win that cash. Have a great day, Scotty. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Yeah.